I've known Philip really on many different levels from the 80s. When I first came across from Ireland to London, we were all out of the London Weekend stable, and so got to know her and Bobby professionally then. And then over the years, we developed, I don't mean an inner circle, but a circle of friends who met up a lot. And in fact, I was with her at a barbecue at a mutual friend just 2 weeks ago this very day. And what is so shocking to me, and obviously I'm deeply saddened, and just as everybody said, it was like, in a way, the heart ripped out of you when you heard the news this morning. But what I find astonishing is the fact that we actually sat beside Scylla for the meal and talked to her at great length. And yes, she had a lot of niggly problems. You know, she had a problem with her eye that had gone a bit wrong in terms of a lens replacement. She had a bit of a hearing problem, and we were laughing about our knees and the difficulty going up and down stairs. But as you would of a certain age, and I saw nothing of a threatening illness that would take her life away. So that's a big shock for me, because it was just like a girly chat, really, and just comparing notes of a certain age. And so I saw nothing coming, and she was talking so openly about her niggles that I think, had there been anything like, for example, angina or something like that, she would have talked about it.
Well,
so
that's
it
actually
is all the shock.
It's actually quite an important insight you're giving us, Gloria. Obviously, we don't know the circumstances around Scylla's death until the coroner reports. But certainly 2 weeks ago, there was nothing that Scylla shared with you that would suggest that she was seriously ill.
No, nothing. And she was talking quite openly about... I know she has made no secret of the fact that she hated being 70. And she always said, I just don't want to grow old, kind of attitude. I mean, that's not me saying that. That's been well documented. And she's talked quite a bit.
She said about 75 would be a good age to go, didn't she? One of the
kind of thing.
One
yeah,
of the papers tomorrow.
Sort of talked about that.
One of the papers tomorrow was saying she got her wish.
Well, kind of. I don't like to think about that bit of it. But anyway, what is? I mean, as Tony was saying, it is shocking that it just came out of the blue. And certainly, from my personal point of view, it does feel shocking. If I hadn't seen her for 2 or 3 months or something, I might have thought, what's happened in the meantime? But certainly 2 weeks ago, as I heard the news today, I couldn't believe we were sitting in the sunshine at a friend's barbecue, just having a chat, really. A bit of a moan together, really, if I'm being honest. And, and I just find that, apart from being saddened, and, you know, she loved being a grandmother. That's the other thing that I was thinking about. We were talking about grandchildren, and that brought a new lease of life to Scylla. You know, she loved her grandchildren, loved them coming to visit her at her home and all of that. So you think of the many situations, and my memory will be not so much, I mean, of course, Scylla is unique in terms that she had all those wonderful pop songs, and then she was one of the most popular television presenters. Not many people can make that transition and be so good at it. But my memories, we had a different mutual friend who had a very rich husband, and he used to take us on holiday every year, about 16 of us. So we've every year religiously for the last 9 or 10 years, we've gone different places, and it was Scylla, a girly girl, just, you know, sort of joining in what would be holiday pastimes, you know.
What was she like behind the scenes in terms of, for example, on those holidays? What type of person? We know what she's like as a presenter, as a singer. What was she like as a friend?
Well, you have to take on board that Bobby was probably one of the best managers ever, as we saw documented in what Kiki was talking about. Bobby insisted that Scylla was treated as a star. And Scylla was always treated as a star right up until, you know, 2 weeks ago, or, you know, today, in fact, when we've heard this awful news. But at the same time, this is the dichotomy in a way, because she was such a down-to-earth Liverpool girl that everybody felt they knew her. She could talk to anybody on any level. So it left us all thinking that we had a little piece of Scylla. But at the same time, and she used to tease all of us, I mean, not just me, but she'd say, how can you ever turn right on a plane? I would never turn right. So Bobby taught her well. Scylla still moved as a star. So she had that unique quality of being a good Liverpool lass who could talk to anybody, but at the same time, never forgot what Bobby taught her and never forgot what Bobby taught everybody else in treating Scylla like a star. Like, for example, if I was going to an event and I happened to be going my own, I'd hop out of a car, walk in my own, wouldn't bother me. Scylla was always met at the pavement and escorted in. That's the difference, you know. And so she had unique qualities.
She missed her husband terribly after his death, didn't she?
Totally. I don't think Scylla, that's only my personal opinion, I don't think Scylla ever got over the deep loss that Bobby left, because they were 24/7 as a couple, you know, and in those early days of racing down to the Palladium and racing back up to Liverpool for mum's roast beef and gravy on a Sunday. You know, they lived all of that. They lived the rise to stardom. They lived that, you know, marvellous period when she was presenting Surprise, Surprise and Blind Date, etc. But they were together 24/7, so it wasn't like she was missing him occasionally. You know, it was just they were together. And Bobby had wonderful qualities. I remember Christopher Biggins and Phil and myself did a charity event at the Palladium, and Bobby sat in the audience during the rehearsal and gave us all notes. And I remember thinking, oh, my goodness, I wish I had somebody like that to give me professional notes. So Bobby was wonderful, wonderful as a manager and as a husband. And Philip quite openly has said that although she had walkers to take her places, but she said there was never any romance and never wanted it. So I think that, you know, she was a one-boy girl in that sense. And I don't think she ever got over the vacuum and the loneliness that Bobby left. And I can understand why, because it wasn't just on a personal level, it was just every aspect of her life and career.
Did she share with you during conversations, Gloria, why Marbella was so special to her?
Well, she's had, I mean, no, not in that sense. But she, they owned just beyond Marbella, actually. And so I remember doing a one-hour special, actually, at the house. And she loved the house because she had it very early on. I wouldn't know whether it was the 60s she bought it or whatever, but she's had it a long time. And the children sort of grew up there in holidays, and there was still evidence, and she still loved the grandchildren going out there. So she loved Marbella. And then, of course, she had her place in Barbados. And she had many, many friends on the island of Barbados, people who didn't care that she was Cilla Black, the performer. They just liked her, you know, in those later years when she had retired. And she was Cilla, and Cilla was always entertaining round any table, round any dining table. You know, she was a very special, unique person. And I just sit here in disbelief. I can't actually take it on board that she's gone, because we've always had Cilla, haven't we? Now she's not here.
And finally, Gloria, how do you think she should be remembered?
Well, she will be remembered on all kinds of levels. But I think, I don't know whether you caught the Morecambe and Wise thing the other night. There was a repeat that ironically featured
Cilla. I didn't, actually.
And it was rather special looking back now, because it featured that Cilla that we've seen over the years for so long, that laugh, that smile, that sense of humour. And I think that overall, I mean, apart from her great singing and presenting talents, I think it's the sense of humour. And when, you know, when she had her chat show, she could top any big star that was on it with all her own anecdotes. She was a wonderful storyteller, and all those stories about the Beatles and bleaching Ringo's mum's hair and all that sort of stuff. She could make any situation funny. So I think overall, apart from her multi-skills, she was remembered for that quite unique sense of humour.
Thanks for your time tonight, Gloria. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.